I always enjoy coming off the weeks after a gospel meeting. I always feel rejuvenated, and certainly do, after the lessons that we have got to hear this last week by Brother Jeremy, and I hope that everyone enjoyed that, and I hope that you feel as rejuvenated as I do. But we're going to look at the question this morning: how compassionate are you? And the reason why we're going to look at that is that, you know, I think when everyone looks at the character of Jesus, I think that there's something about the character of Jesus that attracts us to Him. Now, He's perfect in everything, so we can be attracted by everything He represented, everything that He did, everything that He said, and certainly that could stand true. But still, I think that, you know, as I look at all the characters of the Bible, you know, they stood for many virtues. They stood for many characteristics. And yet, there's always one or two characteristics that tend to attract my attention more than others. And whenever I look at the life of Jesus, how He conducted Himself while He was on the earth in His earthly ministry, the one virtue that tends to attract me the most is His compassion for others. And I don't know what it is for you. It may have been, as Jeremy talked about this last week, His authority and the speaking of His authority, the intelligence that He used, and the way that He presented Himself to others. It could possibly be the teachings that He, the way that He taught, the simplicity of His teachings. You know, there's a lot of things that can attract you to Christ. But there's no doubt that one of the characteristics He used more than all His others was His compassion. And it's a word that tended to come out regularly throughout the four Gospels that we have. For example, Matthew chapter 20, verse 29 through 34. It says, "Now as they went out of Jericho, a great multitude followed Him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the road, when they heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David.' Then the multitude warned them that they should be quiet." You know, there's a tendency with people to think that they know what's normal and appropriate. But you know, what's normal and appropriate for me may not be normal and appropriate for you. I would hope that as Christians, we could agree upon a lot of normalcies of the way things should be. But still, you know, there's some things in life, some of the ways that we say things and do things that aren't always dependent upon following certain rules or certain ways in order to please God. So normalcy and what we think should be done in any particular situation is not always going to be agreed upon. But you know, here were a couple of men who needed something. Here were a couple of men who, because of the circumstances of their life, had been blind. I don't know what it's like to live life blind. But whenever I think about it, it's not something that I would want to go through. I have known some blind people. I've known some blind brothers and sisters who were just outstanding with the way that they handled life and handled their handicap. But you know, the last thing I think that I would want to do would be to suppress someone in that situation. Especially if I knew the power of Jesus Christ, and I knew He had the power to heal these men, the last thing I'd want to tell them is, "You guys go over there and be quiet. Just..." Can Can y'all still hear me? Okay. So here we've got this situation of what's going to be followed? What's Christ going to do? Is he going to concede to the crowd and follow their sense of normalcy of we need to get these guys over to the side. I've got other things that I need to do here. Well, you know better than that. But they cried out all the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David." So Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus knew the answer to this, but he asked anyway because he wanted to hear it from them. They said to him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." You realize that they are confessing their faith, that Jesus can do that. So Jesus had compassion. Why was it that he healed them? You know, in a lot of ways, the reason why Jesus did his miracles was to give him opportunity for further lessons, to give him opportunity to continue to preach the gospel so that people would know that he was an authority sent by God. But understand that there's more of a reason to why he does it here. Because the text tells us, so he had compassion. It was because of the compassion of Christ that he was getting ready to do what he was going to do. It says, and he touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. See, Jesus Christ didn't do everything just to show his power. Jesus Christ did a lot of what he did because he had compassion on the people. And that should be important to you and me because he continues to have that same compassion on us today. Compassion is a sense of shared suffering, most often combined with the desire to alleviate or reduce such suffering. Were these random acts of miraculous compassion necessary? They may not have been necessary in every instance, but they were certainly in line with the character of Christ. They were who he was and who he is today. Alexander McLaren wrote, "Kindness makes a person attractive. If you would win the world, melt it. Do not hammer it." And I think that that's important as we look at, I've got to be careful to stand in front of the mic. But as we look at the importance of compassion, we have a need to be compassionate to all men and women. Even those who differ with us in their thoughts on faith. To give you an example of that, there was one particular congregation I was preaching at, and one particular brother came up to me and he said, "You know what, Dennis?" He said, "I was talking with my denominational brother the other day, or my denominational neighbor." Said he started talking about things that were going on over at his place of worship, and he said, "I just laid into him. I told him that all those things were wrong. I told him the reasons why they were wrong. I told him what he needed to do that was right." He said, "I just put him in his place." And I said, "Well, does that mean he's going to come to church with you now?" He said, "Oh, no." Said he stormed off mad, went to his house. I didn't say anything more. Didn't think anything more needed to be said. Because you know what happened, don't you? Because of a lack of compassion, he just shut a door he will never be able to open again. Brothers and sisters, a little common sense and a little bit of compassion goes a long way. Because what is our end goal with people? Is it to shove them away? Is it to do like the people in the situation of two blind men did? To warn them to be quiet, get out of the way? Or to put them in their place? I think we need to remember what Paul inclined for Timothy to do. Because listen to these words. These words sum up compassion in the way that he was to handle his business. I'm throwing this in there. You don't have this in your notes. But 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and verse 24. Paul instructed Timothy, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. We need to understand that a little bit of compassion can open doors. Whereas whenever we choose to live the opposite way, we will close the doors. We're not supposed to be door closers. We're followers of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, being followers of Jesus Christ, we are the light of the world. That means we're to be seen. That means we're to be heard. Are we going to be heard if we're out there closing doors? We need to be door openers. And in order to be door openers, we need to be like Jesus Christ, who opened a lot of the doors of the hearts of the people and the multitudes that followed him because he showed compassion for them. And I believe with all my heart that if we will show compassion for others, we'll open doors and we'll open hearts. Christ showed he cared through his compassion for others. In John chapter 11, verse 34 through 36, it says, "And he said, where have you laid him?" Inquiring as to where Lazarus was. Lazarus was dead. You know the story of Lazarus. You know the story that Jesus purposely stayed away until Lazarus died before he came, because he knew what his intentions were. His intentions were to raise Lazarus from the dead and show his power over life and death. And yet, whenever he comes into the environment and atmosphere surrounding the death of Lazarus, his heart broke. Because here were people he loved. And you know what? We love. I don't think any of us love like Jesus does. I think his love is intensified. And so whenever he looked around and he saw the hearts of those he loved breaking, his heart broke too because of his compassion. Even though he knew what he was going to do, look at what happens. He asked, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." And the two, you know, this was the scripture whenever I was growing up. It was similar or interesting listening to Jeremy's upbringing, because my upbringing was the same. I remember the stars for the memory verses. And, you know, there were some times that our teachers, Bible school teachers, would give us a memory verse to learn. And then there were some times that they would say, "You memorize something you want to memorize." Well, you know what we did. Jesus wept. That got us a star. That was an easy star, right? Two small little words. Shortest verse in the Bible. And yet, a verse that speaks volumes about the compassion of our Savior, Jesus Christ. He was getting ready to bust the tears away, and he knew it. But still his heart broke, because those who he loved, their hearts were breaking too. What do you think that says about him today when our hearts break? What about the times that we go to our God in tears? What about the tears that we shed for our loved ones, for our brothers and sisters whenever they go through hard times? Is Jesus weeping too? I think he is. I think his heart breaks for us because he has great compassion for us. Oscar Wilde once said, "One can always be compassionate to people about whom he cares nothing about." Jesus was compassionate to those he knew, but he was also compassionate to those that he did not know. You know, sometimes it's easier to be compassionate to people we don't know. You know why? We don't have to be around them that much. But what about our spouses? What about our children? What about our co-workers? What about our brothers and sisters in Christ? People that we are around on a regular basis. People that we interact with on a regular basis. What usually happens whenever you're around somebody a lot, you interact with them a lot, do they always please you? Sometimes they can get on your nerves, can't they? Sometimes they'll eventually say something that's just going to kind of perturb you. It just happens. It's human nature. It's in those moments, though, where we have an opportunity to show an even greater compassion. I think that there are a lot of truth to what Oscar Wilde notes here. Someone also once said, "Some men are so kind to their wives, they are more like neighbors than husbands." Think about that. Compassion needs to be a virtue that is not only shown to those in our community, it needs to be shown in our homes and in the Lord's church, in our workplaces, in our schools, around the people that we are around on an everyday basis, because sometimes they're the hardest ones to show compassion to. Jesus Christ, sometimes, I think, got a little put out with his very own apostles, especially Peter. Peter was the one that was always talking up, speaking before he was thinking. But Jesus loved him. I still think that whenever Peter denied him those three times, it says that he looked across the courthouse and Jesus met his gaze. And he went out and he wept bitterly. And I've always thought, what was in that look? Because you know there's a lot in a look. And I've discussed this with you before. I think what was in Christ's look, being in the character of Christ, was not a chastising look. It wasn't a look of disgust. It wasn't a look of disappointment. I think it was a compassionate look that said, "Peter, it's okay. It's going to be okay. I still love you. I understand." Man, that's hard. But that's who Christ was. And that's who He is. And that's who we need to try to be. Christ has compassion on those who do what is right. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 32, it says, "Now Jesus called his disciple to him and said, 'I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way.'" He didn't feed them just because they were hungry. Okay? Understand that. I know there's a lot of ministries in the world that think that, or a lot of people in the world that think that the church is just a food bank. All we're supposed to do is give food. That's what the church does. But understand that Jesus was giving food to those who had followed Him without eating for several days. How many of you would be willing to listen to me preach for about 3 days without eating? That'd test you, wouldn't it? This is what they did. And it says that as He looked out upon them, He saw within their hearts the love that they had for His Word. And He loved that about them. And He also heard those stomachs growling, like I hear every once in a while on Sunday mornings, especially on fellowship days. And He had compassion on them. And so it was that He wanted to feed them. And He's going to
produce one of two miracles that he produces within his lifetime. He may have even done it more than that. But he's going to feed them on just a small amount of food, thousands of people. It was because of his compassion. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ." Do you know why we receive those spiritual blessings? Because of the compassion of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Many in the world want to sin, but still have the compassion of Christ. Many want to sin, but still receive salvation. I know that there is no better place to be spiritually in order to receive the compassion of Christ and all the spiritual benefits that go with it or in it than to be in Christ. When we are in Christ, we are guaranteed of the compassion of Jesus. Does he have compassion on those who are not in him? I think so. And that he has given every single person, even the sinners of this world, an opportunity to be saved and live with him for the rest of eternity. But I know from what the Bible teaches us that his compassion never runs out with those that are in him. Finally this morning, Christ has compassion for the lost. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 through 36, it says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd." Let me ask you a serious question this morning. What do you think when you see the lost people of our community? What do you think whenever you see the lost people of your own family, your own household? What do you think whenever you see the lost people who are acting very sinful in all these world reports and national reports and things that we see on the news? Does it make you mad at them? Does it disgust you with the way that they are? When Jesus looked around and he saw the same things, you know what his reaction was? He had compassion on them because they were like a sheep with no shepherd. Why did Christ come to this earth? Why did he go to that cross? So that we could finally have the shepherd that we needed. Because we're all sheep. And as much as we want to put it out of our minds sometimes, every one of us has been disgusting with sin. But Jesus Christ has had compassion on us. And Jesus Christ continues to have compassion on us. I've often said that if Jesus returned to minister today like he did back then, instead of synagogues and villages, he would go to the local Walmart store. I've watched a woman I know come in holding hands with a strange man who was not her husband in a Walmart. I've listened to so-called parents talk to their children like they were dogs. Or actually, people talk to their dogs better than they do others. I've seen women who have needed a good switching and sent home to find some decent clothes to wear. I've seen some public displays of affection that should never have left a bedroom. Instead of disdain for the people, though, I look at these things and I look at these people and folks, it's sad to say that a lot of them just were never brought up with the knowledge that they needed. They're very much like babes that don't understand what their purpose is in life. A lot of them know what a Bible is, but know very little about it. A lot of them know the name of Jesus Christ, but know nothing about Him. And it's just getting worse. Our society is steadily and steadily going further and further away from God. So should we hold disdain for them? Shall we separate ourselves to the point that we want nothing to do with them? Or are we going to be like Jesus Christ and seek and save the lost because we have compassion for their souls? I promise you that from what I read in the Scriptures, from what I have studied for all these years, God wants sinners to be saved. He wants the lost to be found. You and I are the examples to the lost. Again, we are the light of the world. We're the good stuff. We're the good guys. We're the good people. But that doesn't mean that we belong to an exclusive club that needs to separate ourselves and go behind closed doors and not get around the people who need to be saved. We need to get around them. Because it may be the only way they learn what righteousness is. We need to show compassion on the souls of the lost around us. Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 9, verse 12 through 13, when Jesus heard that, He said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy." He could have very well said compassion. And not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. What does that take, folks? What characteristic of Jesus Christ brought Him to this earth to mingle in the years that He lived on this earth with sinful people, none of them righteous? What caused Him to want to interact with them? Why didn't He run screaming and go close Himself up in a closet somewhere, far away from the ugliness of sin that was around Him? One word. Compassion. Yeah, we can throw love in there, but love's part of compassion. Compassion is realizing that people are hurting around you. People are sick around you. What Jesus had for us and continues to have for us. And if we're going to make our community better, if we're going to make our state better, if we're going to make this nation better, if we're going to make the world better, maybe it's got to start with compassion. Not ridicule, not disdain, not disgust, compassion. Because compassion opens hearts and opens doors and gives us opportunity. I hope that we will look to the example of Jesus Christ, realize the importance of compassion, and add that to our life. If it's not already in your life, add it to your life. If it's in your life, make it greater. And let's show the world what true Christians are all about as we strive to exemplify our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you haven't taken the opportunity to take advantage of the compassion of Jesus, He went to that cross and died for us because He loved us and because of His compassion on our sin-sick souls, on your sin-sick soul, you have an opportunity to accept the great and wonderful gift of Christ's compassion this morning. You can do so by believing that He is the Son of God. You can do so by confessing that to others. You can do so by repenting of your sin. And you can
do so by being baptized into Jesus Christ. Where we gain full access to His unlimited compassion. And we'll have that compassion for the rest of eternity. For our citizenship will be in heaven. If you're here this morning, hadn't taken advantage of that, we stand ready to help you and assist you while you make that decision. If you'll but come, all together we stand.
There's a fountain.